In today's gospel, our Lord praises the childlike because they're not like the wise and the learned in the sense of the world. When the Lord speaks about wise and learned, does not speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but a worldly wisdom, a worldly learning. And in fact, we know the greater one is in this life, the more he's inclined to be independent from others. The more we think about ourselves, the more we want to need no one else. It was precisely the sin of Lucifer and the sin of Adam and Eve. They wanted to be independent. And this tendency to need no one is what we call ultimately pride. Therefore, Lord says we need to be childlike. Childlikeness implies dependence. Dependence on God and each other. So in the family, if we strive in the family for independence, needing not the others really, we are superior, then we are proud. We need to accept our needing the other. The child needs the father and the mother. The father needs the wife and he needs the children. And the wife needs the husband and the children. We need to need each other because otherwise we cannot love each other and grow in mutual submission to each other, what we also call obedience. And it was precisely the outstanding, or one of the outstanding virtues of St. Joseph. St. Joseph in the Gospels is called a just man. What is a just man? In the language of the Bible, would simply say a man who possesses all the virtues. And a man who possesses all the virtues is a saint. Is a saint. And St. Joseph, in fact, he was outstanding in obedience. Therefore, God could use him to be the guardian, the foster father of Jesus, and the husband of the Blessed Mother. Obedience is so fundamental in family life, mutual submission, needing the other, letting the other also have an opinion. Today, when you talk about obedience, people get uncomfortable. But in fact, obedience is a virtue without which we cannot be saved. All the history of salvation is bound up with the virtue of obedience. Obedience of Abraham. He was ready, out of obedience, to sacrifice his son Isaac. Today, Moses, even first, he did not want to obey, to go and free the Israelites from the Egyptians. Ultimately, he submitted to God's will, and so he could become basically the one who then leads the people of Israel in the Exodus, and he became a figure of Christ. Obedience is a virtue that must be taught to the children at a very young age. Often we think, let the children do what they want and so on, but they miss so much. In a very early age, a child can learn obedience relatively easy. And then it will easy be for the child to obey God's commandments and later on to receive God's call and live accordingly the life. So obedience also in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus was subject to them. That's the virtue the Gospel mentions in regard to Jesus in relationship to Mary and Joseph, was subject to them. Loving obedience must be taught to the children first. And then there's the best foundation they can fulfill then the will of God in their lives. Also, our Lord, when he entered the world, according to St. Paul in the letter to the Hebrews, I come to do your will, O God. And Our Lady, be done to me according to the word. Obedience. And that's when grace comes down. That's where we make ourselves dependent on each other, that we can love each other, respect each other. Without the dependence, without this interdependence, if we do not live it and accept it, we live the life of Adam and Eve in the fallen state. So let us always accept this dependence, needing the other and being childlike. The childlike are here praised by our Lord. Because the child, they look up, they accept their dependence. Now, in order to understand the greatness of Saint Joseph, we must realize that Jesus, the son of Mary, is also Joseph's son by virtue of the marriage bond between Joseph and Mary. The betrothal in the Old Testament was the actual wedding covenant. That's when the wedding covenant took place. So it's not like our engagement, simply we commit to later on marry each other. No, the betrothal was the actual wedding. Now the covenant is done. And then usually the couples were waiting for one more year till they then lived together. So the moment when Joseph was betrothed to the Blessed Mother, they were legally married with all the rights of the marriage partners. And therefore our Lord was born into a marriage. It was not out of wedlock, what so many think today and justify, you know, having children before the actual marriage. It was an actual marriage covenant when the angel came to the Blessed Mother and she became the Mother of God. Saint Joseph participated in the fullness of Christ even more than all the apostles and all the other saints. He lived 30 years with the Son of God. You must imagine the implications. You must have felt for Saint Joseph being in the presence of the burning bush as Moses, holiness itself, not being burned by that holiness and love of the Son of God. Saint Joseph, he was a real father to him. He was speaking with Jesus. He clothed him, watched over him, loved him, touched him, hugged him, kissed him. He listened to him. He played with him. He worked with him for 30 years. And through this special contact, he could contemplate the Word of God in a unique way. His words, his gestures, he could look deep into his eyes, in a certain sense, into the soul of the God-man. And because Joseph was a humble man, humility is necessary for obedience. Because Joseph was a humble man, he was greatly enriched in his interior life by the presence of the Son of God and the Blessed Mother. Saint Joseph also participated in the spiritual fullness of the Blessed Mother, in their married life. Mary did not deprive Joseph of the benefits deriving from her own unique holiness. You know, when two get married, you have in English the word wedlock for marriage. Once you get married, you're tied together, wedlock, and you go the way together to God, ultimately heaven, and you share in each other's gifts. That is part of the marriage bond. And so Saint Joseph also shared in the spiritual fullness of the Blessed Mother. And that is the reason why the Church considers Saint Joseph to be the greatest saint after the Blessed Mother, even holier than all the angels, because of his special relationship to Jesus, the mystery of the Incarnation, and to the Blessed Mother. Why do we devote ourselves so much to Saint Joseph? Because he's the protector of the Church. He's the protector of also of the domestic Church and of all the families. At the apparition October 13, 1917, in Fatima, when the Holy Family appeared, Saint Joseph blessed the world. That means now he's protector of the whole Church. And why is this so? Saint Leo the Great says that Joseph is the man into whose custody God entrusted his most precious treasures, Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary. And these greatest treasures were totally safe with Joseph because he was humble and he was obedient. And so in your life, if you can be humble, childlike, even you're an adult, and you can obey, then God can entrust to you the greatest treasures. In your case, it's your kids and your wife or your husband and so on. So these are the outstanding virtues of St. Joseph. Of course, fidelity is a constitutive mark of marriage, the marriage bond. So St. Joseph is the protector of the church and is the protector of all domestic families. We know that St. Joseph took the child and his mother to flee to Egypt. When the angel appeared to him in another dream, warning him of Herod's intention to kill the child. And then, this protection is then extended to the whole church. And through the entire church, St. Joseph's protection extends to all domestic families. St. Teresa de Avila, she was a great devotee to St. Joseph. And in fact, all her monasteries were also in a certain sense dedicated to St. Joseph, that he is the house father and provider for all her monasteries. And she wrote, "I took the glorious St. Joseph for my advocate and protector and commended myself earnestly to him. I do not remember once having asked anything of him that was not granted. God seems to have given other saints power to help us in particular circumstances. But I know from experience that this glorious Saint Joseph helps in each and every need. And this is because he provided the Holy Family in each and every need. And this is now extended even to the domestic families." Remember, in our monastery in St. Petersburg in Austria, in the castle, the women and the sisters, they built their own convent. And the great concern was, how can we raise all the money? It's not difficult to raise money in our days. So when they prayed really to St. Joseph, they make promises, which they fulfilled, and the money miraculously just came flowing in. And the sister who was the treasurer, she always walked through the corridors. "St. Joseph is great, St. Joseph is great," she just said. So when we devote ourselves to St. Joseph, he will provide in all the needs of the family, not only material needs, but especially also the spiritual needs. And one more thing, because the time is up. Where is St. Joseph now? Is he in heaven, or is his body not yet in heaven? We don't know. But there's good reason to believe even his body is already in heaven. So not only the body of our Lord and our Lady, but also St. Joseph. You can believe it or not, so that's in the dogma. But St. John the 23rd, he stated that the assumption of St. Joseph is worthy of pious belief. And also St. Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, he said, "Tradition tells us that St. Joseph died in the presence of the Blessed Virgin and our Lord. Doesn't it make sense that Jesus would have wanted Joseph at his side, the same man who had nurtured him as a father on earth?" So I think it's worthy of belief that the Holy Family, even in their bodies, is united already in heaven. And our prayer to St. Joseph on all your behalf. St. Joseph, behold the families kneeling here before you. The family is a holy testimony of God, which God already pronounced in paradise. Bless these families, bless their children, bless the houses in which they live, and protect them with the help of the holy angels, that they may make their way safely through this life to the throne of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.